Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Link and Travis are half-brothers who live with their physically abusive dad in a trailer park down east. Link hates it there, but it's the only life he's known since his mother died when he was 3. But when he finds a birthday card his dad has hidden from him, he realizes his mother might still be alive. So the two brothers run away. On the road, they meet Buzzmite, a Mi'kmaq who was kicked out of his home because of his sexuality. Together, the three embark on a journey down a twisted path where Mi'kmaq and two-spirited cultures meet. For Link, it's an education and an initiation into a world he finds both frightening and alluring. Can this mismatched threesome become a makeshift family? And will they ever find out what happened to Link's mother? Wildhood is a wonderful new film that's a romantic comedy, a coming-of-age story, and a picaresque adventure all in one. It encompasses brotherhood, family, and identity, all told from an Indigenous and queer point of view. It's written and directed by Breton Hannum, and it's their first feature film. Wildhood is having its world premiere on opening night, on the opening night of the Toronto International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to have Breton here with me via Zoom to tell us more about Wildhood. Hi, Breton. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Hi, my pleasure.
So Wildhood is a picaresque journey about three young men who meet oracles and guides and other strange, frightening, and wonderful people that they encounter along the way. And I felt echoes of everything from Greek mythology to Paradise Lost to Indigenous folktales, maybe even The Wizard of Oz. So what, for you, what inspired this story?
There's a lot of different things that I was drawing inspiration from. Part of it is personal experience. Part of it is stories from family, friends, community. A lot of the stories that I tell are really based in the land. So, when you watch the film, I think that also becomes fairly clear. And ultimately, it comes down to relationships. Relationships between self and community, between self and nature, and between, you know, self and the world. Where do you belong and where do you fit in?
I didn't mention nature, but of course, that's a huge part of it, both in the story, but also in the look of the film. Talk about where you film this, in the water, on the land, in the fields. It's breathtaking images.
Yeah, we shot this film in Ulnawegedi, in Mi'kma'ki, in Mi'kmaq territory, in what's called Nova Scotia. And most of my stories are rooted in a rural area or countryside, I guess you would call it. And that is very much because the stories are shaped by the land and the animals and the plants. So it was very important to film not on a soundstage or just like, you know, 2 minutes outside of Halifax or something. We went quite far in a few different directions to make sure we're kind of deeper into the forest, deeper into the wilderness, into the territory, to have those scenes kind of unfold. And it's a different type of experience to be able to film on the land like that. One, it's more complicated in a lot of ways, but it also lends a certain quality or quietness or contemplation to a lot of the scenes. And from the very beginning, we knew that was an important thing to be able to do with this film, to film it in the territory, on the land.
I'm speaking with Breton Hannum about his new film, Wildhood, that premieres at TIFF. Now, the character Buzzmite, he speaks Mi'kmaq-uism. I'm pronouncing it wrong, sorry. And he earns his living dancing at powwows, but and he's two-spirited, but just because he's recognized as such, it doesn't mean he's completely accepted within that community. And outside the reserve, he faces racism. So can you talk about the conflict he faces, both rejection within for being two-spirited and from the outside for being Mi'kmaq?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these situations where everyone's story is different, everyone's past is different, but we can see certain things occurring or reoccurring, mostly due to colonialism and the trauma that is experienced through echoes of generations. And a large one is for LGBTQ indigenous two-spirit people is finding where you fit in your community, outside your community, with the world at large. It can be quite hectic. It can be a struggle. And for Buzzamai, that is the epitome of his struggle. You know, he, for the most part, knows who he is. But he struggles to find acceptance within his community, without his community, outside of his community. Because the experiences of a community are by no means monolithic. We all have different perspectives and different approaches, different opinions. And it can be a challenge sometimes to be fully embraced who you are as a two-spirit person. Or as an indigiqueer or LGBTQ indigenous person. And for Buzzamai, that's kind of his journey, his path that he's on, is he is trying to find that acceptance and to find a family.
So you mentioned the history, and although the movie doesn't deal with the tragic legacy of residential schools per se, it's not the focus, but you do have crucial scenes of encounters with both the church and the carceral state, including the police who enforce it and the jails and prisons. So why did you choose to include those scenes within the film?
Well, that's just life. That's just reality. For a lot of people, that's the way things are. And the goal with addressing those things isn't to come out and point and stand on a soapbox and say this or that, or it's more to show and to lay things out and to have characters move through these spaces and live with these realities and live through these experiences. There's no need for me to point those things out directly and highlight them with a highlighter. Like, these are things that we know, and they're things that we experience. So explaining them in a way that's too direct or on the nose seems quite unnatural. And just keeping in the world of the story, it was important that those topics are touched upon, but they're intrinsically woven throughout the fabric of the story and the world of the story. They're not separated out or, you know, compartmentalized into little bits.
And continue with that. Yeah, in one of the earliest scenes, Link wakes up in prison, and there's an elder, a mysterious elder, who appears right beside him, foretelling the story that's coming up, but neither the audience nor he realizes it yet. Can you talk about that character?
Sure. That character, the elder character, the role in the jail that they have is, you know, more of someone that acts as a cultural, what would you say, like, not a consultant, but like a consoler.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone who provides care, who speaks the language, who has the knowledge, who can then engage with the Mi'kmaq people, the Mi'kmaq that are coming in, or that might be taken in by the police force to provide that care or sensitivity that isn't there. So that's kind of for Link, for the main character, that's like his first, the first time that he hears the language that he remembers.
So, and I like the fact that at the beginning of the movie, we're introduced to Link and Travis as these two blonde Anglo brothers. But as the story progresses and as Link discovers his spiritual and cultural roots, we also have the roots of his dark hair also coming to the surface. So talk about Link's mixed feelings towards his hidden roots.
Sure. I mean, it's there's a bit of an overlap there. I think, you know, a lot of queer people, when you're going through something or you are experiencing something tumultuous in life, like you dye your hair blonde or people go through that phase.
Right.
Or they
right.
did when I was younger. I never got quite to the all blonde phase, but there were maybe some frosted streaks or tips or something I don't want to talk about. But there's, so there's that aspect of things, but there's also the aspect of he dyes his hair to fit in with his brother, to fit in with the world, to be more like the people around him who are not indigenous, who are not Mi'kmaq. He doesn't, really know that part of himself or his identity. And then as things go along, the more he listens and watches and speaks and learns, the more that those elements are revealed that come out. And there's some uncomfortableness about fitting in and finding a spot, because, you know, wouldn't it be great if we all just found a exact puzzle shaped spot in the world fit for us? But there's often a little rough edge here and there that, you know, there causes some friction going in, and that's part of the story. But ultimately, that's really what that is about. I guess it's a visual. What's the word? Metaphor, visual metaphor. You know, and there was a bit more to it that we couldn't quite do, because it turns out dyeing and then undyeing hair and redyeing it is very complicated for shooting.
Finally, the film stars three new actors, Philip Lewitsky, Josh Ojik, and Avery Winters Anthony, who are really quite amazing. They're dynamic, they're appealing, they're multifaceted, they're attractive. Philip Lewitsky in particular, because he's the, he plays Link, and he's the, all the whole story is told from his point of view. This guy is movie star quality. The camera loves him, and the other two as well. But I don't think I've seen much of them before, or at least not in a lead role. Where did you find them?
We did a casting call. We reached out. We did a short film first, a short version, and we had reached out to only local Mi'kmaq teens, and we ended up casting, doing a casting process that was a little unorthodox, and we filmed the short with them, and they're amazing actors. And then when it came time to do the feature, we spoke to them and did some work with them, and talking about the amount of work and responsibility that goes into it. And they're still in the movie. We found places for them, but ultimately we decided to reach out a wider net for the leads. Avery, the young brother, Travis, is actually from the short. We found him in the short and kind of carried him over into the feature. For Philip and Joshua, we reached out much wider net and had a lot of additions on Zoom, really, before the pandemic, which is odd, but and some chemistry tests. And when we saw them together, it was like, okay, yeah.
Well, it's a masterful film. I loved it. I think everyone should see it. And thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Bretton Hanum's new film, Wildhood, is having its world premiere at TIFF. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.